So while we took the break, the computer situation continued to run. Here we have a zoom of the right area. We are inside the canyon, and this is the sequence of step the method is taking. It is still running. I used okay, now I stop it. I used the same stopping criterion of the previous example. So I told him to stop if the gradient at the current point at the norm, which was less or equal than 0.001. And here you see the sequence of iteration. I stopped, it means that it did not even satisfy the stopping criterion, and it took, this is the number of iterations, so it took 1,377 iterations until we stopped. So this is an extreme example which shows well the defects of the gradient method with the exact line search. Okay? The trajectory is made of zigzag, orthogonal successive movements, and since the level curves are very narrow, all these steps are really, really very short. I don't know if. So notice that the optimal solution is 1, 1, and here after 1,000 and more, and even more iteration, the solution is 0.99, 0.98. The third digit here after the dot is not even here, the third, and here the second is not even the closest to the right one. Okay? Okay, so now I can turn the computer off and we can start discussing what else we could do rather than doing the gradient method with exact line search. So the second part of today's lecture and Friday's lecture will be devoted to this topic. So, we see that the troubles of the gradient methods are related both to the choice of the direction and to the choice of the step, of the exact length search. Actually, it is the combination of these two elements that gives us the trouble. Very slow when you are getting close to a stationary point because you are moving through a zigzag trajectory, and even very close, very short movements if level sets, level curves are pretty narrow. Well, about the direction, well, we choose minus the gradient at the current point because it is somehow the best or the greediest. But we realize that what is needed actually is to have a direction decay which is a negative scalar product with the gradient at the current point, because this is a sufficient condition to have a decrease, at least locally. Okay. Well, from now onwards, we will do some gradient methods in which we just ask, choose a direction with this property. Okay.
One technique which is used often
is to take dk equal not to minus the gradient, but to minus some matrix dk times the gradient of f at the current point, where dk is a positive definite matrix.
Okay.
Well, this gives you guarantee that you are actually having a descent direction, because if you take this its scalar product with the gradient at the parent point, what you get is minus the gradient of f at the parent point transpose dk times the gradient of f at the parent point. Okay? And by definition of positive definite matrix, this quantity is positive, and since you have a minus in front of it, this is negative. Okay? We will be back to concrete choices for dk in the next sets of lectures. And actually, the biggest trouble is about the exact search. The exact search tells you to do the best things you can do along that direction. When you take any descent direction, you don't have this, and actually it is not enough to take a descent direction to go towards to converge to stationary points. And I give you a very easy example in one dimension. Okay, so let's take, for instance, this function of one variable, which is x squared minus 1. Okay, so I can easily draw the graph. This is a parabola. This is 0 minus 1. This is minus 1, 0, and this is 1, 0. Okay, the graph of the function is this one. Suppose I start from a point here, x0. Okay? Well, I can move this direction or this direction. Okay? Well, this is not a descent direction. The function is going up. This is a descent direction. And suppose I simply take a step. Okay? Let's take a very long step and I get here. Okay, x1. The value of the function here is lower, is less than the value at the previous point. Okay? And now let's say that from x1 I have these two directions, this is the descent direction, so I move this direction, and let's suppose I make a step which takes me here, x2. I improve the value of the function. Okay? And then I can continue to do this thing, okay? In this way. And I can generate a subsequence x2k and x2k plus 1, which one goes to minus 1 and the other goes to plus 1. Okay? The method is a descent method. The algorithm is a descent algorithm, because at each iteration the value of the function decreases. Okay? So it is a descent method. But it goes here, and the cluster points are these two, minus 1 and 1. Okay? None of them is a stationary point. We know that the unique stationary point of this quadratic function is zero. Okay. So, asking a method for a method to be at the same method is not enough to get convergent to stationary points. Okay. Indeed, up to now we used exact line search, which clearly in this example would have been provided due to zero in one step, because when you start from x0 you move along this direction and the best you can get is zero. Okay. Which we show to be a sufficient condition to get convergence under appropriate assumptions. But we have seen that it gives us troubles. And there's one trouble I mentioned on Friday, which I want to repeat now. Exact line search is an optimization problem. Okay? You need to compute the minimum of the search function, where the search function is f of xk plus t times dk, where dk is the chosen descent direction. We fix everything except t, so we have a function of one single variable, but still we need to solve an optimization problem. In one variable, it means that it is a bit easier than a problem in n variables, but you still need to solve it. And this can be computationally expensive. Okay. And moreover, like algorithms for n greater than 1, we need approximate stopping criteria. Okay, it's unlikely that you will find a point at which the derivative of the search function is exactly zero. Okay, so actually you can solve this approximately generally. Okay, on Friday we discussed that you can resolve it exactly with a formula when f is a convex quadratic function. We have a formula. Okay, because the search function becomes a parabola, so it's pretty easy. But in general, this is you cannot solve it exactly. Somehow, even if you pretend you're doing exact line search, you are approximating the exact line search. Okay. Well, there are a number of techniques that I'm mentioning you. And then we will focus on a specific way to, let's say, approximate this problem, this search problem, in such a way that it is not so computationally expensive. Well, one technique is called limited minimization. Rather than solving the search problem on the Hulath line, you solve it for t that goes from 0 to some given and fixed capital T. Okay? You limit your search on an interval. Okay? Another technique is so you take Tk to be a point which minimizes this function. Another technique is pretty easy. You take it constant. you always take the same step. Okay? Actually, before Christmas, we will be discussing an algorithm for which this choice is made. Okay? An algorithm in which the step will be always unitary. Okay? The step will always be one. And that will be Newton's method. And then there is also another choice which is called decreasing step size. Which tells you to take steps tk, which goes to zero as k goes to plus infinity, but which do not go to zero too fast. And this is generally given for this condition, the sum from for k that goes to zero to plus infinity of tk's is plus infinity. Okay? So for instance, this is telling you that you cannot take tk to be 1 over k squared. This is no, but you could take tk to be 1 over k, for instance. Okay? Step size which are decreasing and going to zero, but not too fast. Anyway, we focus on something different. Different approach to choose a step size. Which is called, in contrast with the exact line search, inexact line search. Okay. So, let's suppose that a current point xk is given, and also that is given a direction dk, which is a descent direction for f at xk. So, actually we ask for the sufficient condition. We ask for the scalar product of the direction with the gradient at x, of f at xk to be negative. Okay? So these are given. How do we choose the step? And also, let me fix as a notation this one for the search function. Pk of t is f computed at xk plus t times dk. Okay? Well, through the previous example, we have seen that asking for the method to be the same method is not enough. Okay? Somehow you have to force the decrease to be of a certain quantity. Okay? One way to do that is to ask for this condition. We look for a t which satisfies the following. F of xk plus t dk, which will be the new point, has to be less or equal than f at the current point, okay, plus a negative quantity. And the negative quantity is the following. C1 times t times the scalar product of the gradient of f at xk with dk, where c1 is a number, is any fixed number between 0 and 1.
Okay?
This quantity is negative, so we are forcing the decrease to be at least of this quantity. Okay? This is known as Hermitian condition. Which you will find called AJO on my lecture notes. Okay. Some time ago I spent some time trying to find out who Hermitian was, because actually he was an engineer, he was not an optimizer, he introduced this condition and then he devoted his activity to something else. And then I also find out that Hermitian was a rescue. So, some fun. Well, you can rewrite the Hermitian condition also in terms of the search function. Why? Because here, the left-hand side is nothing but the search function computed at t. Then let's go to the right-hand side. F at x, k. Well, it's the search function computed at zero. And here you put zero. Then you have c1 times t times this scalar product. But we've seen this in the proofs of the gradient method with exact line search, that this is nothing but that the derivative of this function computed at zero. Okay, we've seen this on Friday. So, if we want, we can write the Hermitian condition in terms of the search function. Okay. I will use both formulations for the Hermitian condition, but the one with the search function gives you the possibility to check it graphically, because here you're writing function of one variable only, the step t, the step size t. So I'll show you. How you can see it graphically. Here on the xs you have t, and then on the other x you take the value of the search function. Okay? At zero, for t equals zero, the fact this is the value, f at xk. Okay? Then, well, it can be somehow any function. Let's say it's this one, okay? This is terrible. So Well, the only information we have is that this summer product is negative, okay? Which means that the derivative of this function at zero is negative, okay? So the derivative is negative, it means that at least for some while the function decreases, okay? We discussed it on Friday. Is the reason why that condition up there is sufficient to have a descent direction. So at the beginning the function goes down, and then it can do whatever it happens. Okay, and let's see the right hand side of the Hermitian condition. These are constant values, and this is t. Okay, this is a linear function of t plus a constant value. This is an affine function of t. Okay. And this is phi k0 plus t times phi k prime at zero. Okay? It's the tangent line. Okay? So my graph is really terrible. Then I multiply it for a number which is great, which is smaller than one. So it means that my function is steeper. No, sorry. I'm saying it wrong. It would be steeper if this is positive, but this is negative, so it's less steep. Okay? Since this is negative, and C1 is between 0 and 1, this is less steep. So this is phi k at 0 plus C1 times t times phi k prime at 0. The Hermitian condition is telling you I can take all steps in which my function is below this line. Okay? So these points satisfy the Hermitian condition. These points satisfy the Hermitian condition. So all these steps in red satisfy the Hermitian condition. AJO is satisfied here. You get it by intuition, since here this is the tangent to the graph of the search function. You are changing these coefficients in such a way that this line is less steep. Okay? So since this is tangent, if it is less steep, it is above the graph, at least for a certain while. Okay? So you can actually make this formal, because you can check by yourself, this is a simple example, that since this is negative, plus the fact that C1 is between 0 and 1, then the Hermitian condition is satisfied by all t which belong to 0, let's say some tau, for some positive tau. Since here this is less t, there exists some tau, positive tau, such that the Hermitian condition is satisfied whenever the step is less or equal than tau. Okay? So this is telling us that at least some points exist at which this condition is satisfied. The Hermitian condition tells you also something else. It's also another property. The Hermitian condition cannot be satisfied as t goes to plus infinity. Why? Well, it could be true unless, let's say, f is bounded by below. Okay. If f is unbounded, it goes to minus infinity, it makes no sense looking for minimum points. Okay. So this is not a very restrictive assumption. Okay. So if f is bounded by below, Hermitian condition cannot hold as t goes to plus infinity. Why? Well, let's check it here. It's easier here. This is easier here. Since this is negative, as t goes to plus infinity, this quantity goes to minus infinity. Okay? And if true, Hermitian condition is true as t goes to plus infinity, then this value would go to minus infinity, because it's less or equal. Okay? So Hermitian condition cannot hold for arbitrary large values of the step. Okay? So this is the first property. The second property is that Hermitian condition, well, okay, cannot hold if t is arbitrarily large. We can say in this way, there exists some capital, some positive capital T, such that Hermitian condition does not hold whenever t is greater, small t is greater than capital C. So Hermitian condition is telling you I can make small steps size up to certain extent, but I cannot make arbitrary large steps. But Think about the simulation we ran earlier. We were not satisfied with very small steps. Okay? So, our initial condition does not prevent from doing very, very small steps. So, we couple our initial condition with a second condition, which guarantees that we don't do steps which are too small. Okay? And this condition relates somehow to the curvature of this function through a property of the gradients of f times the direction. So I write it down. It states the following. The scalar product of the gradient of f at x k plus t times dk with dk has to be greater or equal than c2 times the scalar product of the gradient of f at xk with dk. Okay? And I will briefly call this condition CUR. Okay? You can write this condition again in terms of the search function, where C2 is a number between 0 and 1, and actually we will take it bigger than C1. C1 is the constant in the Hermitian condition. Okay? I will explain you why this happens in a few minutes. Well, how this is, why did I call this a curvature condition? Rewrite it in terms of the search function. On the right hand side you have C2 times the derivative of the search function of zero. And here you have here on the left hand side you have the derivative of the search function at the given point t. Okay. This is telling you what? This is telling you the following. The derivative at the chosen step side t cannot be too close to the derivative at zero. Okay, because here you are asking it to be at least, let's say, a half of the derivative at zero. Okay. As t goes to zero, the derivative of the search function at t goes to the derivative of the search function at zero. Okay. So, asking that it is at least a half of it, or c2 times it, means that it cannot be too close. Okay? Because if it is arbitrary close, then the two values are arbitrary close. And this is what the condition wants to avoid. Okay? So, the property here is that the search condition is not satisfied for very small steps, so I could write it. If can write it here, sorry. One blackboard isn't enough for this kind of lectures. There exists some positive tau such that the curvature condition does not hold for all t which are less than tau, or even less or equal, doesn't make a difference. Okay? So, curvature condition is required in addition to Hermitian condition to guarantee that the step is not too small. The pair of Hermitian and curvature conditions are together called sometimes the Wolf conditions. So from now onwards, when I will be speaking about Wolf conditions, I will be referring to the pair of Hermitian and curvature conditions. So, it's almost time to stop. I introduced you these conditions. Let me explain why I chose C2 in such a way that it is greater than C1. Well, if the choice is made in this way, we can prove, and Friday I think we will prove it, that the Wolf conditions are both satisfied in an interval. Okay? Because I've defined Hermitian, I've defined curvature condition, then I want both to hold. But in principle, it might be impossible. I will show you that since we have chosen C2 to be greater than C1, there exists an interval in which both conditions are satisfied. Okay? And the gradient method with inexact line search will be the gradient method with a generic descent direction D, okay, in which rather than the theoretical exact line search, we make a line search and we make a step which satisfies both Hermitian and curvature condition, which satisfies the Wolf conditions. So, the plan for Friday will be showing you that the Wolf condition holds at an interval, showing you that the corresponding gradient method with an exact search is well defined and converged to stationary points under suitable assumption, and to discuss some techniques to compute a step size which satisfies the Wolf conditions. Okay? So this will be for Friday.